Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Five Memphis police officers fired after Tyre Nichols' brutal beating and death are due in court this hour to face second-degree murder charges. Attorney William Massey represents one of the defendants, Emmett Martin.
The public has just not been given all the information, and I think the public was left with the opinion that there was no probable cause to stop Tyre Nichols.
Nichols was black, so are all five officers. A white police officer in Louisiana has been arrested for shooting an unarmed black man to death as he tried to run away when police responded to his family's apartment in Shreveport.
And I will do everything we can to learn from this experience and to make sure that it does not happen again.
Officials say Alonzo Bagley jumped off a balcony and ran before he was shot in the chest. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky urged world leaders meeting in Munich to hurry up new aid and weaponry to help fight the war with Russia.
We can make sure that there is no alternative to our victory, but then there should be no alternative to our determination.
Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman's hospitalized to receive treatment for depression. The Democrat's been struggling with his recovery from a stroke during his campaign last May. Correspondent Scott McFarlane from Capitol Hill.
Senator Fetterman's spokesman says the senator checked himself into the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center upon the recommendation.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The Western Wisconsin nurse accused of cutting off a dying patient's foot appeared in court yesterday. Mary Brown pleaded not guilty to charges of mayhem and physical abuse of an elderly person. Last May, witnesses said Brown removed the victim's right foot, which had become necrotic from severe frostbite. She did not have a doctor's permission, and the patient did not request it. Brown said she did it to make the man more comfortable. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile's catalytic converter was stolen during a weekend appearance in Las Vegas. Thieves have been targeting vehicles' catalytic converters over the past few years because they contain rhodium, which is nearly 10 times as valuable as gold. KLAS-TV reporting the vehicle was towed to a repair shop with a temporary catalytic converter installed. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Ma, Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf.
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl. Dolphin. What does the turkey say? Whale.
Yeah, whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy Witten. Sandy, help me figure this out. Volodymyr Zelensky pushes for speedy support to avoid more Ukrainian deaths. So they certainly at a tipping point right now, Ukraine is in this war. As Russia has ramped up things and are really showing them, basically, you know, the power and the might of the Soviet Union. And Ukraine can't match it because they don't have what it was going to take and never had it from the beginning to keep this thing going. And so Volodymyr Zelensky is saying, hey, NATO, America, if you don't hurry up and give us these weapons, you know, the blood is going to be on your hands. How do you respond to that, Sandy?
Well, I mean, the whole problem is the one that you and I identified at the beginning of the conflict, which is if the West, if NATO and America don't have enough actual strategic interest in Ukraine to throw their own troops, blood, and treasure into that conflict in their entirety, they're fighting against the second most powerful military nation in the world, okay? And so that was going to be a war and a land war of attrition against Russia. Everyone knew with 14,000 tanks and an experience in land wars that no other country has had in the last century, that that would be an immensely difficult war and a war of attrition. And everyone knew that Ukraine standing alone could not win a war of attrition against Russia. And so then the question is, you know, why, you know, so what we did was we gave Ukraine a sense of power sufficient to for them to, I guess, stand up to Russia with respect to the negotiations that might have avoided the war in Ukraine, the same way that Georgia avoided a war. And at that time, the United States recognized the lack of strategic import of Georgia to the United States, and we let the negotiation happen. Georgia is a freestanding country. You know, they aren't subject to direct control by Russia. And in fact, most of the people who left Russia to avoid the draft went to Georgia and are sitting safely in Georgia, immune from the draft. But because we didn't do that, because our policy leaders stirred up the pot with America by suggesting to us that it was our duty to defend democracy in Ukraine, we have now a domestic political scene that is agitating for us to throw a great deal of stuff into the Ukrainian war, but Ukraine can't be saved without us essentially crossing red lines that we announced in the beginning. We aren't going to put troops in Ukraine. Every other NATO country has said, we will not put troops in Ukraine. We will not put aircraft into Ukraine. We said that from the beginning. And just about every other NATO country other than Poland has said, yeah, we're not going to put aircraft into Ukraine. And without troops and without aircraft, it's really essentially impossible for us to defend Ukraine in a war of attrition against Russia. And now that Ukraine has talked about going to Crimea, we have Blinken, which I had talked about this earlier, saying, you know, Ukraine's off limits as far as the United States is concerned. We know that it's a red line for Putin and Russia. And if the war starts focusing on Crimea and Sevastopol, there will be a far bigger war, and Russia will put far more of its military might into it than they even currently are. And so, you know, we've push has come to shove. It's a little bit like when Ukraine was winning, it was a bit like the Bears winning at the end of the first quarter against the Eagles or the Chiefs, right?
You knew what the outcome was going to be.
Everyone knows what the outcome is going to be, but everyone says, yeah, boy, this is a surprise. The Bears are winning at the end of the first quarter. And that's sort of what's happened. We're really only at halftime at most here, and Ukraine has done better than expected. They've put up quite a fight against Russia. Russia has demonstrated that they don't have totally the military machine everyone thought they did, but they do have lots of men. They are immediately adjacent to Ukraine. They had 14,000 tanks to start with, which is almost three times as many tanks as even the United States has. And so they are equipped for a land war in a way that, you know, is really not to be withstood in the long run.
I think I remember reading something that said at the time that Russia has over 80% of its military involved in this war.
Well, in fact, I saw...
Or 90, maybe.
I saw someone, an English UK guy, say that he thought it was 97%
yes.
of the army was committed to Ukraine. But they have a huge reserve army. They were able to call up 300,000 people. I don't know the quality. Many of them might have, you know, they also have the Wagner Group with their convicts or whatever. But they are... There is a great deal of bloodshed occurring in the Donetsk region, the Donbass, where the war is ongoing and hot, and the Ukrainians are losing manpower like mad. Both sides, it's a bloodletting, okay? And Russia apparently is content to lose its own blood so long as Ukraine is losing as much or more because they understand the numbers.
So Sandy, Volodymyr Zelensky, who is a great cheerleader at times, and who clearly has gone around and tried to make the case for NATO and others that we can win this thing. And even though the Joint Chiefs know there's no way they can win the thing, even though President Biden knows there's no way they can win the thing. And so right now Zelensky is basically telling the allies, we're losing this now because you guys haven't done your part. You haven't given us the things we need to continue this battle. Well, some of those smaller allied nations, they don't have the resources.
Well, and many of them have committed quite a bit in terms yeah. of the relative scale of their own military resources and what they've committed to it. But I think the operative word you used and the difficult word is win, okay? Because win is a matter of definition. And if winning requires that all of the Crimea be recovered and that the Donbass be recovered, the portions that have been at least formally or theoretically annexed by Russia, that's not going to happen.
Well,
and that's what we all know, and that's what the Joint Chiefs and everyone else knows is not going to happen. And we know that if this got to the point where Ukraine won and Russia was backed off, we'd end up with the process of ever continuing sanctions against Russia, no basis for smoothing down the feathers with Russia. We'd have a very uncomfortable peace. If Russia wins, the end game is even worse, because we end up with an occupied Ukraine, we end up with for sanctions forever, we end up with a pariah nation, we end up with the hottest kind of Cold War. And so there needs to be a diplomatic settlement, and I think the United States hopefully is setting the stage for that by, one, saying, look, Crimea is off. Listen, Mr. Zelensky, we're not going to go for going into a battle and supporting you in a battle to recover Crimea. As soon as we've gone to that point, we've already essentially announced that there is a definition of settlement and win that is moderate.
Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. And I know that we don't get a lot of callers when we're talking about Ukraine. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter whether or not we get a lot of callers, because the conversation we're having at some point in time, Sandy, is going to get even broader as we get closer to the spring, right? And it's not going to be that the conversations about, you know, the things we were talking about earlier in the show are going to be the things that are going to be, you know, taking control over the media. It's going to be, at some point in time, what's happening in Ukraine.
Well, I think the problem is, and Ukraine's an object lesson that I think, the reason why I want to talk about it is I think it's an important object lesson that relates to China as well. And we can see how quickly domestic politics will become hysterical about international affairs, the balloon, okay? We whipped ourselves up into a fair domestic frenzy over the balloon, even to the point of now sending, you know, $100,000 rockets to take down a balloon which was put up there by a balloon club in Illinois. And we had a great deal of hysteria over the notion of this surveillance balloon that was Chinese based, that apparently is part of a large bunch of balloons that are released. We in America release balloons all the time. We have all kinds of surveillance that's undergoing. We don't make a big point out of our surveillance or out of the surveillance of other countries, because it's a way of life. And it's all part of the intelligence apparatus. And like I've said before, surveillance is a way for countries to gain comfort about one another. Right. It's not always hostile to do surveillance. It's many times just the opposite. And so we have to be very careful about letting our domestic politics whip ourselves up into a frenzy internationally, because Taiwan is a far bigger problem than Ukraine. Ukraine's a huge problem. And it's a very but Taiwan, if it goes wrong and runs amok, can be a far bigger problem.
You know, Sandy, the fact that we can't focus on these things, which we can act like this doesn't impact us as American citizens, but it will in the long run, right? I mean,
well, of course it does, because our defense budget, you know, we've talked about all the things we think America, the government ought to be doing for American citizens. And really the biggest reason why we can't do it is the budget we have for defense expenditures, which dwarfs our expenditures on any social program. And it basically makes it impossible for us to implement anything new.
Got to go to a break. Sherman, hang on. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. No.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunny skies and calm this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 24. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 18 tonight. Clear skies. High temperatures reach up to 38. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Low 40s Sunday. Mid-30s Monday with a chance of snow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to Sherman from Racine. Hey, good morning, Sherman. How you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what? Sherman, are you there?
Okay, yeah, man, I was listening to you guys. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. All right, yeah, man, I'm listening to what you guys are saying, and I'm glad you guys are talking about Ukraine. I heard you say when you go to the subject, we don't get that many calls. And, you know, that's unfortunate because, you know, that could possibly be World War III over there. And I'm not sure on this, I'm not sure why it's not getting any much more attention on the in the political circles. Because as Sandy just said, Zelensky and the Ukrainians, they want Crimea back. And I don't blame them. If somebody took Florida, we would want it back. And that's a Black Sea warm weather port that the Russians had during the Cold War, and they went in there and took it. It was unfortunate that President Obama couldn't be stronger militarily, but he was trying to get out of Afghanistan and all of that. So, and Putin took advantage of that. But as Sandy said also, the Chinese are watching. And if we allow Russia to take any part of Ukraine, the Chinese gonna move on Taiwan. And we all know it, anybody that's paying attention. And my question or my concern is that we have too much of our manufacturing base offshore. And at some point, the politicians are going to have to pay attention and start encouraging companies, whether they change tax law or however they got to do it.
Let me ask
go
you.
Ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
And then let Sandy respond. Why, I mean, if China moves on Taiwan, how is that our responsibility?
Okay, check this out. I'm glad you asked that question. I went to go try to buy a new 2023 truck to trade in my old one. They don't have none in stock because they don't have the chips anymore, because the companies here, when I was in the military, Sandy, back in the early late 70s when computers were first starting, Intel processors was the standard, okay? For whatever reason, companies in the United States, American companies, allowed the Taiwanese to take over the chip market. And the Taiwanese were real smart. They were playing chess while we were playing checkers. They know China want that island back. That was Formosa. They want it back.
Yeah, back.
And they positioned themselves. They positioned themselves in they put themselves in a position to where the Western economies are dependent on Taiwan for those chips.
So
our whole economy is crazy.
So hang on, go ahead, Sandy.
Well, let me just say, you're talking about the same subjects I'm talking about, but I'm afraid you and I are on the opposite side of the analysis of it. A couple of things.
I understand that.
Yeah, hold on.
Because my view is that we don't have the strategic interest that causes us to be willing to devote troops and all of our blood and treasure to Ukraine. We don't have the real political interest that should cause us to ignore the fact that it lies well within Russia's hegemony, and that, for instance, Crimea and Sevastopol was part of not just the Soviet Union, but before that, the Romanov version of Russia. And that the only reason it became part of Ukraine was when the Soviet Socialist Republic of Ukraine had its border refounded by Khrushchev, who was born in Ukraine, who decided to rejigger the boundaries because it didn't make any difference. It was like changing the boundary of Florida and Georgia. But on the side of Taiwan, yes, Taiwanese became fundamentally strong in the production of silicon and chips, but they did it not because they were trying to put themselves into a fundamentally important strategic position. They did it because the Taiwanese chip manufacturing company became very good at it. Much of their manufacturing is actually done in China, and the president of the CEO of that corporation is actually sympathetic to and doesn't want to support separatism on the part of Taiwan. He wants to stay a part of China.
I'm
going to make my case at least. So we've got Taiwan that was, incidentally, a part of mainland China when China was all one country. They have a civil war. The Kuomintang end up being exiled to Formosa. We never recognize Formosa as a country. We agree in 1979 that it's a part. There's a one China policy adopted. We also say that we will, if China wants to militarily change that, we will support Taiwan, whatever that means. But Taiwan is not an independent, free, democratic country, and we've never recognized it as such. And so then are we really willing to devote all of our blood, treasure, and troops to what would be an enormously expensive defense of it? And the fact is that it is part of China.
So listen, we've got to go to a break.
Okay.
Sherman, we've got to go to a break. Thank you very much for the call. Sigma, hang on. We'll come to you right after the break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. Sigma.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Tyree Nichols' mother and stepfather were in a courtroom in Memphis today when five former police officers answered to second-degree murder charges in Nichols' brutal arrest and death. Judge James Jones Jr.
Gentlemen, each of your attorneys have entered pleas of not guilty on your behalf. Understand that despite everyone's best effort, This case may take some time.
A white police officer in Louisiana has been arrested in the deadly shooting of an unarmed black man as he tried to run away after a domestic disturbance call. Alonzo Bagley's brother watched the body cam video.
Knowing that his last words was, you know, "Oh God, he shot me," that got me.
Volodymyr Zelensky urging Western leaders meeting in Munich to fast-track aid and weaponry to Ukraine.
We need the speed of our agreements, speed of our delivery to strengthen our sling, speed of decisions to limit Russian potential.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Milwaukee's population went up by 800 after an appeal of its 2020 census results. Milwaukee's official population stands at a little more than 577,000. That's down about 3% from the 2010 headcount. Milwaukee leaders are also appealing what they say is an undercount in minority neighborhoods. Air National Guard leaders say they're proud Wisconsin-based jets shot down a UFO over Lake Huron Sunday.
And I think the nation's awareness of our capabilities and our relevance has only gone up.
That's Brigadier General David May in an exclusive interview with Civic Media's Todd Albaugh. In sports, the Bucks beat Chicago last night 112-100. Milwaukee's 12-game winning streak is the longest in the NBA this season. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Well, it's thunder and lightning.
Yeah. And there's some talking.
Sorry about that, guys. It turns out this was the music video to the song.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right.
So there was a video that none of us can see.
Right.
Including all the radio.
So he'll play the song later. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. Okay. All right. Let's go to Sigmund from Chicago. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, sir.
Thank you. I have a little different perspective, perhaps because I was born in Poland. I remember when we get independence in 1990, there was a calculation because of Eastern Europe becoming independent that U.S. saved $50 billion a year on military spending. Now, I have friends in Poland, and they tell me that Poland wants to go to the war with Russia because they don't want the same thing happen every few decades, you know. Poland is like 40 million people plus. Ukraine is 78. It depends how you count all the provinces. That's as much as Russia. And people don't trust Russia completely. And if Ukraine become independent, that's a very smart country. So it's Poland. We have a lot of good scientists, good military equipment. Now Poland has that big cooperation with Korea right now. Ukraine was known, you know, they built the biggest aircraft. So they are very good too. So I think Poland and Hungary and Czech Republic and Slovakia, all the Eastern Europe and Ukraine, there's like 200 million people. Like that could be also a great industry. Easy comparable to Taiwan. If Ukraine become independent, America will not have to do anything in Europe anymore because there will be such advantage of European forces that can totally focus on, you know,
sir, to what expense is Poland willing to go?
Well, wait a minute. Poland is a member of NATO, and so Article 5 of NATO will protect Poland. So if Poland were to be attacked by Russia, the NATO forces, all of them, United States, Britain, all of them, would be subject to coming to their defense to the full. So they would have to apply troops. It isn't just that they promised to help somewhat. That article says we're gonna protect you as if you are ours, as if you are us. So we made a decision, and NATO made a decision, that Poland was geopolitically important enough for NATO to be a part of NATO. That didn't happen with Ukraine, and my understanding is that Germany amongst maybe some other NATO countries, was never going to say yes to having Ukraine in NATO because they didn't believe that NATO was geopolitically important enough like Poland was. And so, you know, we just have to look at geopolitical realities. I mean, there's certainly a moral story to be told and an emotional story to be told that suggests that Ukraine is a situation that we should all be very sympathetic to and helpful about. But unfortunately, international affairs is done on a much more pragmatic basis that doesn't really involve morality that much. I think the population of Ukraine was 44 million before they were surrounded by Russian troops, and then I don't know how much out-migration there was, but it was estimated to be in the 7 million number. So I suspect the remaining population of Ukraine is in the high 30 millions, mid to high 30 millions. And Ukraine is definitely a terrible situation that has been created. But some of it was created because they decided not to negotiate with Russia and to capitulate with what Russia was demanding of them in terms of the hegemony, and therefore Russia invaded them. You know, there was the same kind of pressure put on Georgia. There was a mini installation of troops in Georgia, but a rapid change in view. And so I just think that we can't simplify this as much as we would like to, just from an emotional standpoint. And I totally understand how you, particularly from Poland, you know, living through the Cold War and living through the Warsaw Pact and living through the occupied status of those countries, has a definite view of Russia and the need to avoid any recurrence of that. But at least the countries you identified, other than Ukraine, are all members of NATO.
So let me ask you.
Yes,
go ahead.
I would like to say where and how far you can compromise. Like the Russians, actually Putin, because that's Putin, not Russia talking, they don't want Ukraine even to be in European Union. But they should accelerate that process. And when Ukraine become in European Union, with open border, they're almost open to Poland anyway, then they become strong European country.
Well, I think
that would be a huge state.
I think that might, I'm not sure of that, because I know that Putin, after about 2 months after the invasion, Zelensky said that he was no longer interested in becoming a part of NATO, or was willing to agree not to become a part of NATO. And Putin announced that he was, as far as he was concerned, it was okay if Ukraine became a member of the European Union. Now, maybe all these positions have hardened more since then, but at least in about April or May of this year, the positions were different. And maybe they were just talking publicly about grounds for negotiation and settlement. And my belief is that if we get to a negotiation and a settlement, it will result in a neutral Ukraine, Ukraine being a member of the European Union, and Ukraine not being a member of NATO, and that there will be a disposition of the Crimea that will be satisfactory to Russia.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but they don't want Ukraine to be European Union. And also with what it happened, with being with Ukraine, with European Union, borders will be open. Of course, there will be tons of investments into Ukraine. People start to speak more English. People will put all the administrative and infrastructure comparable to European, and that will be as almost to be in NATO, because if something really bad happened, NATO could move to Ukraine immediately, because there will be some, like Poland right now is doing this progress with German forces moving to Eastern Europe, mostly to Poland, and rotating. So it's not like they move, but they're rotating now. They're rotating more. So I think that in general, investment of U.S. In Ukraine could be comparable to investment of U.S. in Eastern Europe.
But that will happen after the war, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying, those finances are not lost. They'll be much less spent in following decades, because Russia without Ukraine is just like gas station, basically, especially in the context of all the clean energy.
All right, Sigmund, thank you very much for the call.
Well, I think that was an interesting call. Thank you, Sigmund. And I agree that Ukraine is strategically important to Russia, and it's why this invasion happened. It's why it's a part of their hegemony and not so much a part of ours. But I do think the magically positive outcome of this could be, and if Putin is a man of his word, which everyone doubts, I guess, he did say earlier this year that he was okay with Ukraine joining the European Union. And you're right. If that occurs, it will have a very, very significant impact on Ukraine, its development, its redevelopment, and its focus and its the way it faces. It will face West rather than East in a far greater way.
So, and, you know, at the end of all of this, Sandy, is some tremendous pain that's just around the corner, which is what Zelensky is talking about. He sees it.
Well, tremendous pain. They're experiencing it right now. And so, you know, you have to measure, like I said in the beginning, really what should have been measured is what could the outcome have been of a negotiation between Ukraine and Russia before the invasion, and what will be the outcome of the negotiation that settles this war, and what's the incremental difference in that, and was it worth the huge loss of life and the destruction of infrastructure that occurred? And, you know, we can't measure that until after the fact. I look at it and basically predict that I think Ukraine could have obtained, because they would have had some Western backing in the context of the negotiation with Russia, they could have achieved European Union status and neutrality and the things that I talked about prior to the invasion. But we'll see.
You did clearly state early on that this is something that could have been avoided.
Well, I don't, you know, I think look, I'm an outside observer. My sense is that, well, the war could have been avoided. What would Ukraine have had to give up to avoid the war? That's not altogether apparent. It was clear that at the time before the invasion, Russia was wanting the Zelensky government to step down and to create a Russian-leaning government that would step in. He was not, however, at that point, I don't think, requiring that they not enter the European Union. My sense is that in the current state, he's going to probably have to give up, Putin will have to give up this objection to the European Union status in exchange for a promise of never being in NATO and being neutral and to get Crimea.
But if and certainly there's something to be said about being brave, but to what end? If your nation is completely wrecked, because after this is all said and done, the nation's going to be wrecked.
Well, they will have,
right?
They will have probably lost a generation of men, just like, you know, this war is being fought not like World War II, but like World War I, with trenches and
right.
battle lines that move, 500 meters.
Almost hand-to-hand combat.
They have hand-to-hand combat. There's videos of it. They're moving from one person's trench to the other and fighting within the trenches against one another. It's the god-awful, terrible, bloody kind of war. And so, that's what's happening.
And even though it might appear, because the other war is going on in the world, and we can't be everywhere. And I know for those who think that the right thing for us to do is to step in and clearly take Russia on. And people are unmindful again of what the outcomes. Who was it? Was it you, Sandy, or somebody mentioned that World War III? I think it might have been Sherman. But that clearly has to always be in the front, of the mind of our government.
Well, I think what we have to step back is and figure out whether the United States really is going to be the policeman of the world and the savior for the world for all underdog countries who are subjected to the pressure from their more powerful neighbor. Because, we exert pressure on our less powerful neighbors. That's what big countries do to smaller countries.
The dickens, you say.
Well, we do it at least. We have at least economic pressure that we impose. And so we have to understand that, around the world, when people call for help, will we always respond and should we always respond? Because it's going to take $1 trillion or more a year of defense budget to be that guy.
All right, got to go to break. 844-967-2789. Hang on the phone lines. We'll come to you on the other side. It's Friday. It's Friday with Sandy Williams. We'll be back.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Sunny skies and calm this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 24. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 18 tonight. Clear skies. High temperatures reach up to 38. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Low 40s Sunday. Mid-30s Monday with a chance of snow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. But and it's Friday, it's Sandy Williams. And you know, Sandy, you can't talk about what's happened in Ukraine without Taiwan always coming up. It's amazing to me how the American people, who don't focus on a lot of the things that we're talking about when it comes to our foreign policy, are so quick to point out that we should protect Taiwan as we should protect Ukraine. And these, again, people who are not in tune at all with our foreign policy. You can't, and I know the reason that the American people feel that way is because they, you know, we don't want to see those people in those countries suffer. Well, what else can be the reason if you don't know the foreign policy issues?
Yeah, but I mean, we get led by the nose with respect to this. Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot in Cambodia, killed millions of people. It was an ongoing process, and we didn't lift a finger, you know, because we didn't get involved. So, I mean, while we have this worldwide view of the peacekeeper, the Pax Americana kind of thing, the country that's going to protect all the downtrodden around the world, we do pick and choose where we do that. And in many respects, some of the things we do with respect to, for instance, our dealings with Russia create a backlash. Some of the things we do with respect to how we deal with China creates a backlash from them, so that the hostility we're experiencing might be the result of our own conduct. You know, it might be the reaction to our own conduct because, you know, we are a very powerful nation. And when we decide, you know, we move from really a very peaceful arrangement with China to quite a hostile one in the period of about 5 years. And was it really the result of their conduct, or was it the result of a shift in our view because of the success of their economy? You know, we get into a trade war with them, we begin to take a kind of a hostile view, and they begin to become much more aggressive in their response to maybe our action.
You know, Sandy, it is, and this is, this whole belief system in our country is that we have to be number one, as if it's some sports game, right? We want to be number one. We want to make sure people know America's number one. Yay! Why? Why do we have to be number one? What is, And to what are we willing to give up that so we can continue to be number one?
Well, I would hope that we might decide we want to be number one in the satisfaction and happiness of the population, or we'd want to be number one in the welfare of newborn children, or, you know, I should think we'd want to be number one in a bunch of things that relate to the welfare of our population. But the way we seem to measure number one involves economic power
and might
and military power and might, which in some respects is directly contrary to the ability of our government to then provide for the things that would make our populace happier and more secure.
You know, Sandy, and just like the USSR finally succumbed to trying to continue to build these weapons and be the number one, society, our country, when it comes to military might, eventually they imploded. Is that possible with our nation?
Well, sure, because like I said, when you look at a military budget that begins to be way disproportionate, it's robbing from the capacity of the government to do the things to regulate. You know, we talked earlier about a government you could trust that would regulate the industries as they should be regulated, to make those industries have a better reputation in the world, as well as to protect the populace. All of the things that, you know, that to have health care for all, to have good health outcomes for the healthcare that's available to everyone, to have all these things are made much more difficult by a defense budget that's approaching $1 trillion and is half of, more than half of what we spend in any sort of discretionary way. It's like 70% of what we spend.
So what we do know, Sandy, is based on where we are today with our military and the fact that we've used so many of the supplies that we've had in sending them to Ukraine, we're certainly not going to cut the military budget anyways near soon.
No, in fact, the Biden administration asked for, I think it was 812 and got 852 or something. They got a bigger budget than they asked for. Now, this time, they're going in and asking for a bigger budget than they had last time. So that, you know, the appetite for spending across both aisles seems to have expanded. There are some in Washington and in Congress who are beginning to chafe about the level of military expenditure and want to put some analysis into it. But, you know, it's been a political third rail, and as far as the liberals are concerned, I'm kind of worried about that, because the liberals have become as hawkish as any partisan group. And they're the ones who are wanting to spend money in other directions as well. So it's sort of a robbing Peter to pay Paul. In order to satisfy this hawkish political instinct, they're making it much more difficult to accomplish a lot of the progressive programs.
Well, you know, because this belief that China is the up-and-coming, you know, superpower, and if we don't do this, they're going to overtake us, and just stupidity. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to overtake us militarily overnight. Well, did you know that China is building aircraft carriers? Are you aware of that, Earl, that China? What are we building? Come on, man. I sometimes, Sandy, think that the American people were just so uninformed, right? And we're blind. So it's easy to say China's building aircraft carriers. Hey, Earl, do you know what aircraft carriers are used for? They're offensive weapons. Oh, they are. So why do we have so many?
Yeah. I mean, the fact is that the world must look at the United States and all of our military might and worry a little bit about how it is we might use it, or how we're flexing our muscle and how we're imposing our will around the world, because we do impose our will around the world, and we view it as being a voluntary decision on the part of everyone who agrees with us. But the fact is that what would be our problem to have another country somewhat like the United States with a great deal of power?
All right, we got to get out of here. Thank everybody who made this show go. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Calvin. Great week. I'll be back on Monday. We'll be back on Monday, Sandy and I. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. Hold up, baby. Hold up.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at Father.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.